This is an interview by Jan Jacob conducted on December the 6th, 1972. I'm interviewing Mrs. Narvel McCauley, who was Sis Luttenbacher, and this is an interview about her memories of Riverdale, Texas, which is now non-existent. McCauley's mother and father owned the general store in Riverdale and reared her brother, Jack, and Mrs. McCauley in Riverdale, Texas. She was born in April of 1916 and is now a resident of Victoria, Texas.
If it goes too long, I mean,
I'll flip it over. Okay, good. Ms. McCauley, can you tell us where Riverdale is and can you describe the community somewhat?
The location of Riverdale, I'd say, would be about 14 miles northwest of Goliad. And it was built in the bend of the San Antonio River. And it was built to serve the farming community in that area. Now, the community around there were farmers, of course. Mm-hmm. Now, in the little place of Riverdale itself, there were several houses, and they were the people that worked in the grocery store there, or the gin, or the blacksmith shop, the grist mill. And that was the way they made their living.
Well, could you describe something about your early childhood in Riverdale?
Nobody would believe it.
We would.
Well, it's just as near a utopia as anybody could ever make it. And if you don't want to take my word for it, if you can ever run across anybody else that lived there or visited there, they'll tell you the same thing. Let's just say it was perfect. We had everything we could have ever wanted. And I've just always wished that my children could have had the same kind of childhood. Let me say this, the good wholesome things.
Mm-hmm. That something we miss, I think, sometimes.
Families get together, helping each other, working with each other. And when it was time to play, the grown people played and the children played too.
Well, can you describe some of those childhood games?
Tops, marbles, pole vaulting, broad jumping, flying kites, walking on stilts, we hunted with just, I guess, pea shooters. Mm-hmm. Then we graduated to the slingshots. Then finally, when we got up almost in our teens, we could have a BB gun. And when we graduated to the single shot 410, oh golly, we had it made then. We were way up there then.
I can't imagine. Well, what about the schools in Riverdale? Or the school in Riverdale, I should say.
As I recall, that for the first very few years, that was just a one-room schoolhouse. And then after several years, in fact, probably, it was soon after Jan Jacobs' grandfather moved there that they decided they were going to have to build a two-room school because he had six children and another one on the way. And so I guess they decided at that time they'd better enlarge the school.
And another one in the future.
Yes,
they didn't know
yes.
about.
And then, yes. You better cut it off without that. I guess we had an outstanding teacher. This one teacher that I remember, there at times she was the only teacher, and there at times there was a two teacher, another one. But this one teacher was outstanding. I don't think she ever really received a degree. But no telling how many hours she had. And we didn't lack a thing. We had Spanish, we had the science courses, we had shorthand, we had typing. Anytime there was a need to put in something or to teach something, she'd go back to school in the summer and take whatever was necessary. But then there was another thing. She had a way. She was an excellent teacher. She was a very intelligent person. And I don't know if there's ever been a saint on earth, but if there has been, I would say she was one of them. But not only that, she had a way with people. and with children especially. You learned for her, too.
That's important. What was her name?
Mrs. Helen Collins Lott. And her husband worked, was one of the clerks in the store.
Mm-hmm. She must have been something else.
She was.
Mm. You had told me earlier about the meet. Would you explain that for us again?
She had time for everything, and she neglected no one. Everybody tried out for every event. It didn't make any difference what it was. Everybody learned a declamation. Everybody entered the spelling contest. Everybody entered the arithmetic contest or whatever contest it was. Everybody just entered it. Now, on the athletic end, you had a choice. Mm-hmm. But she didn't deny. If a girl wanted to try to broad jump and high jump and pole vault, they had the same opportunity as the boys. And then in our own school, we had a runoff among ourselves. Now, you must realize we just would maybe have five or six boys enough for a basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
Or five or six girls. There were not that many students there.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody entered everything. And it, as long as they were in the age group, and they, now, everybody had to work on the literary events. Mm-hmm. But on the athletic events, you had a choice. You did not have to do those things. I, for one, always did them.
Right. The literary meets that y'all went to then, at different places, I'm sure you did quite well.
Super.
Super. Good.
We always swept it.
I mean, they
even
were
though sometimes we had to go by digging out of the mud to get in to the meet.
You told me one time about getting to one of them. I wish you'd share that with the rest of us.
Well, it rained, and it rained, and it rained, but it was the day of the meet, and the meet we were going, regardless of the rain. Now, most of you are probably too young to know when you didn't have even gravel roads. It was just mud, and I mean gumbo mud. And you'd sink 8 or 10 inches, you know, if you stopped. So they put two of us that were very young to drive these cars because they figured we'd have more nerve than the grown people and we might get out. Well, one of us made it, but the other car never did. What do you think?
Okay. Oh, the festival that you have at the end of school. I'd love for you to tell about that.
That was a highlight of the year for the town people of Goliad. Everybody always wanted to come out to Goliad for the end of the school picnic. And I'm probably, there was many as 300 or 400 people that would come out from Goliad to participate in this. Everybody would bring a dish and we'd go somewhere out in the country. Well, more country than what we were already in, but I mean out where there were no buildings or anything, and the hands were sent from the Riverdale community to clean up this place before they went there. And then tablecloths were spread on the ground. And the entertainment, of course, this was the end of school and was supposed to be for the school children, but you could hardly see the kids for the grown people. And the everything that was contests and happened that time, the grown people could enter too. And it was such things as carrying an egg in a spoon, or rolling up, or running a race with a gunny sack over your legs, and rolling a potato with a stick or something, you know, all those. Now, some of those things I'm a little hazy on too.
Right.
Because I just don't remember all the things. But it was things not, we didn't have bought toys or anything like that, or bought contests or anything. It was things that everybody could participate in, and you could pick up almost in a household what was used.
Well, in the toys that the children had when you were growing up, did they make them themselves, or did the families make them, or?
Well, of course, for Christmas you got toys, but the toys that we really appreciated the most were the things that we made. Oh, I've ridden a stick horse a million miles. And we used bottles for horses, for animals.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we had a lot of our games and things that we played, we'd fix up little communities and we'd have ranches. Mm-hmm. We even built a little gin one time and had the little press. We built it out of rock, I mean out of bricks, the boiler, and had a boiler, and we had a little press. Of course, all of it had to be worked by hand, but the idea was there. We built little old kind of flat cars with spools for tires or wheels that we could pull and to haul the cotton bales off, and we'd come out with a bale of cotton. Maybe it wouldn't look exactly like a bale of cotton, but it satisfied us, and we'd spend days and days getting ready to play, mm-hmm. getting the things ready to play, right. And then we might play with that off and on all during cotton season.
The games kind of went with what was going on then, I guess.
Sure. If it was kite flying time, we flew kites. And marble time, we flew marble. In marble playing time. Now, in the winter time, the weather was bad a lot of times and everything, and the nights were long, and the seed house was vacant. So we, the grown people and the boys and girls, would all play basketball in the seed house then during the winter time, during the basketball season.
And but everybody would play together.
Sure. Never had enough for two teams.
Oh, right.
Of course, now when we're in school, there was a couple of years that there was enough boys and girls to have a boys' team and a girls' team. But we didn't have others to practice against, so we'd have to practice against each other.
Mm-hmm. The boys and girls took advantage of the river for swimming.
Not only the boys and girls, the grown people too. During the summertime, if there was ever any slack time, now you realize toward the latter part of the summer, Riverdale was a very busy place because the gin ran day and night. But kind of the first part of the summer, before the cotton really came in, we did have some time. And almost every afternoon, all the landlords around there were contacted and said, what did you have for lunch? Bring it. We're going to all go in swimming and eat together. And they would come, and the grown people and the children would all go in swimming in the river. And there was a Stoner Whitney that was a man, and he was a bachelor, and the children were all crazy about him. And he loved to duck people. And if nobody better refused to go in, they all had to have an awfully good excuse or they were going to get thrown in by somebody. And then after that, we would all spread the food and eat it there, and then everybody would go on home before it really got late. It would be soon after dark and they'd go, because this would all be done in daylight hours almost. Before dusk.
Well, that was a built-in community swimming pool then, wasn't it?
And we didn't, at that time, we hadn't heard of pollution.
There probably wasn't any then. I don't think you'd swim in the San Antonio River now, would you?
Well, I don't know. I don't think I could swim now.
Oh, okay. While we're talking about the rivers, you had mentioned earlier about the floods, and you had shown me some pictures of Riverdale in the floods. What actually was involved when a heavy rain came?
Well, as I said right at the very first, Riverdale was built in the bend of the San Antonio River. And now, look, my measure of distances might not be the best in the world, but I hardly believe that there was over 200 yards from one riverbank to the other one. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Riverdale then had the river on three sides. Mm-hmm. Of him, and then one open in. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times after a lot of rain, Riverdale would get cut off first, the up a little bit toward the southeast, the river mm-hmm. would cross over. Well, that would cut Riverdale off. And the women and children were taken out in boats when that happened. But then, if it was real bad, and on several occasions it happened, Riverdale itself would be under at least a foot of water.
My
But it was quite often that Riverdale became isolated.
Mm-hmm. Just when that one end got cut off.
Mm-hmm. I'd say about a mile from up from where Riverdale was, maybe, or somewhere, mm-hmm. it would cut a low area, cut from one mm-hmm. to the other.
Well, did it take, like, a hurricane to do this?
No, not necessarily. Anytime they had it. See, this San Antonio River originates up in San Antonio. So if San Antonio had a heavy downpour,
mm-hmm. Riverdale would get it then.
And then the other towns along the way, it would get it. And mm-hmm. it didn't take a whole lot for it to come out.
I guess not. Well, do you ever remember any of the hurricanes or severe storms or anything like that there?
We had storms, but I never remember a hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some distance away from there, what they called at that time a cyclone came through. But Riverdale was not involved in it. This was maybe 10 miles from
mm-hmm.
Riverdale.
Mm-hmm.
But it did not hit Riverdale.
Thank goodness.
But that was quite a sight. I had never seen anything like that. If you had taken a scraper or something about 100 yards wide and just pulled it and made a path, that's the way this looked to me.
Good heavens. What do you remember the year that happened?
I have no idea. I just get, all I can remember is the sight I saw.
Uh-huh.
And it was
just
told.
Swept clean.
Mm-hmm. And now you never hear of a cyclone
mm-mm.
anymore. I don't, I think there is a difference between a cyclone and a tornado. But I don't ever hear of cyclones anymore.
I don't know the difference. But I'm like you, I think there is. But I don't know what it would be. Do you, in Riverdale, were there doctors, or did you have to go someplace else for a medical treatment?
No, the nearest doctor was in Goliad.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, since the time I could remember, we had automobiles. But my mother and daddy went out there, when they went out there to live, they went out in a buggy. And from the time, like I say again, that I can remember, we also had telephones. And many a night, in the middle of the night, I could hear this, hello, hello, hello. And it sounds frightening, but it really wasn't, because you knew immediately that would be some Latin American out there that wanted Daddy to call for the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And that would happen night after night after night. And the doctor would come out then from Goliad.
All the way to Riverdale for a house call.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, do you know, was that Dr. Chilton?
Dr. Chilton, uh-huh.
He was the doctor in Goliad, that's for sure. Let's talk a little bit about the commerce of the community of Riverdale. What was the main occupation of the people?
Well, the main, in the Riverdale itself, mm-hmm. in this little community itself, little town site itself, mm-hmm. they worked at the gin. Or they worked in the grocery store, or they worked in the blacksmith shop, or they taught school.
Mm-hmm.
But the surrounding community that it served, they were farmers.
I see. So you really got just a cross section almost of every occupation within the small little community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What about the stores? Can you tell me something about this?
It wasn't but one store.
One store.
But it had everything.
Right. This was
everything but fresh meat and produce. But everything else it had. In the clothesline, now I'm not saying it had ermines,
right.
but it had a warm coat.
Right.
If you needed.
Uh-huh.
And it did have good quality of canned goods and materials and shoes. Just about everything wrong. In fact, it had a confectionery at one time.
Oh, well, tell us about that. Was it in the store itself?
It was in the store itself. Of course, now the store was a great big brick building, and on the side of it, coming off of it, there was a warehouse. And this confectionery was in the front of the warehouse part. So it was on the same frontage as the store was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it looked like two separate businesses, but it really wasn't.
Yeah, I can see that. I was trying to visualize it. Well, did the stores have, with all their merchandise, and due to the fact that so many of people in the area were farmers, did they have to have a credit system of any sort?
Yes, they had a credit system, and that was that they would, the Riverdale Mercantile Company would run the tenant farmers all year. And then after the cotton had been sold and they were all paid, then Riverdale was paid by these tenant farmers.
So it ran a whole year really on credit before it ever got paid. It's amazing that they were able to go that long.
Yes, but on the other hand, you must realize that farmers used to raise a lot of things themselves, where they didn't buy everything to eat like they do now. They had to buy coffee, of course, mm-hmm. and they had to buy sugar. Mm-hmm. But they raised corn, and they'd have their own meal. Mm-hmm. They had chickens. They had hogs. They had, you know, goats mm-hmm. and different things. They could have a garden where they'd have beans. And they supplied a lot of their own food themselves.
I had forgotten that. Did they ever have a surplus that they took to the store to sell as they do now?
Not to my knowledge.
Mm-hmm. As more or less a self-supply.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Besides the confectionery in the mercantile store, did you mention earlier something about a soda fountain? Or was this a different store?
Well, now,
store?
After they closed the confectionery mm-hmm. part of the store, it wasn't a soda fountain. It was one of these old-time things where they served soda water.
Uh-huh.
A machine, mm-hmm. you know, that you serve soda water. Because I worked at that machine mm-hmm. for $1 a day, and I worked from 6 o'clock in the morning until about 8 o'clock at night.
Oh, my word.
And on Saturdays, when mm-hmm. I was very small. Mm-hmm. And it was had to be worked by hand, but it was just cold soda water to sell then after they closed the confectionery.
Did they keep this all along, or did they go to the more modern bottled drinks after a while?
Well, this was bottled drinks.
Oh, this was bottled uh-huh. drinks. Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay. Can you describe the ginning time in Riverdale? What was the activity in the town at that time?
Work. I'd feel so sorry uh-huh. for the men. Because during the peak of the ginning season, there wasn't much sleep. Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen my daddy go all day and half the night. Mm-hmm. And probably during a lot of that time, so did your granddaddy. Mm-hmm. The hands worked. I can't remember whether they had 2 12-hour shifts. They had a relief among the hands. But these people that were the overseers, more or less, mm-hmm. it was a pretty hard time. And it was a hard time for everybody. Everybody worked.
Mm. Did they, when they would get through with loads, did they bring them into town and have some sort of a place where they could relax? Or did they just have to go home until they...
You
or
mean
when
they brought
to eat or anything like
you
that?
You mean when they brought the tenants brought the cotton to the
mm-hmm,
den?
Yes.
No, they usually stayed there because they'd stayed there so they could then drive their wagon. See, this was brought mm-hmm. in wagons mainly. Mm-hmm. And they'd have to stay there so they could bring their wagons up under the sucker. Be weighed and everything, they'd mm-hmm. weigh around. Yes, one of the hands that worked in the gin, his wife, a colored woman, mm-hmm. would come out and have this cafe. Now, this is doesn't really have anything to do with it, but all of us that remember Riverdale so well, we have often thought of this. This place was called a hotel, but we've never figured out why, but that's the only thing we ever knew it as, was a hotel. it was only open in the summertime, and it was only a place to eat, but it was still a hotel to all of us there. And she was an excellent cook, and the hands would come over there and eat. In fact, the first job that I remember that I had in Riverdale was working for this colored lady that had this cafe. She hired me at the happy, I think I was 5 years old, for 15 cents a day. And I was supposed to wait on the tables and wash and dry dishes during the mealtime. And that meant all day long. In fact, one day we had been awfully busy and a lot of people had been there to eat, and she had just about run out of food. And about 8 o'clock that night, here came a bunch of Latin Americans in to eat. Well, she didn't have much left, few pieces of stewed chicken, and among this chicken was a neck, and it looked like a biggest piece. So she put a piece of chicken in the bowl, covered it with gravy, and when she got it all fixed up, this bowl that had the neck in it looked like the biggest piece of chicken, and you couldn't tell what it was, the way it was fixed up. So I carried it in there, and they all started fighting over that one bowl that looked like it had the biggest piece of chicken. The poor things, they didn't know it was just a neck.
I bet they were disappointed. Whoever got that.
I left. I didn't wait to see.
Oh, did she?
And one, go ahead. And at that time, we had drummers. Mm-hmm. Of course, they call them salesmen now, but then we called them drummers. And during this time when she was out there and had this cafe, all the drummers tried to hit Riverdale at noontime so that they could eat, because she was an excellent cook. Mm-hmm. And they all just thought her food was out of this world, and they tried to make it a point to always be in Riverdale to eat the meal. And one day, I can't remember, but I got 65 cents or something in tips, which really was unheard of in Riverdale at that time. And so she wouldn't pay me that day because she said that was enough for a little girl.
At 5 years old. 5 years old. You mentioned drummers and that we now call them salesmen. Can you tell us more about what they did?
What you mean?
Did they buy the cotton, this bid on the cotton?
Well, the drummers that I was talking that came to the store.
Oh,
there was the grocery people that came, uh-huh, and then the shoe people.
Oh, you had the drummers for other things than just the gin then.
Oh, yes. Now, I would refer to those as cotton buyers.
Oh, okay.
The drummers were the salesmen that came to the store to sell the merchandise to the store.
Oh, they really were then salesmen. That uh-huh,
we called them drummers at that time. And from the different big grocery mm-hmm. companies mm-hmm. that come out there. And, of course, that's where they put in the order.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Out there, and then those things would be shipped. Sometime they were shipped to Riverdale Station, which was about 9 miles from Riverdale. Mm-hmm. And then they would take the truck from Riverdale and go pick up the groceries mm-hmm. from Riverdale Station. But then sometime they were delivered in trucks, and especially flour, as I remember.
Talking about the ginning time in Riverdale, did they ever have any fresh meat that was available?
Yes. During the ginning time, two of the young men, now they worked, one of them was John Pettis, mm-hmm. whose father had land up there, and the other was Butch Lott. Now he was the son of the school teacher, and he worked for Mr. Pettis mm-hmm. on his ranch. And on Friday afternoon sometime, they would butcher an animal and bring it to to Riverdale then, on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. And there was a building that was called the Meat Market. And they would sell then meat on Saturday. Now, there would be no ice or anything. So, you see, it was no way of keeping it mm-hmm. for them to do it any longer than just that one day.
Right. It was butchered on Friday and sold on Saturday.
Saturday, uh-huh.
Do you remember the prices by any chance of any of the meat?
No, I don't, but it wouldn't be anything in comparison to this, because neither was anything else
right.
in the price line. Uh-huh. But I'm sure probably your best steak wouldn't have been over 25 cents a pound. Now, that's just a calculated guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, that wasn't that much.
Uh-huh, that much. Was there any time that you could get ice in Riverdale?
Yes, ice was brought out from blocks of ice.
Blocks
of ice, and we had old ice boxes, and so we could keep things. But in this meat market, there was no big place to keep. And then under these conditions, you couldn't keep meat real long. The boxes would keep it for maybe 2 or 3 days, but you wouldn't want to keep it any longer in those boxes.
Well, did the family, as far as meat, having meat all of the time, did they butcher their own animals, or did they preserve their meat, or was it a combination?
Well, now, my family, I can tell you about. Daddy always butchered hogs, and we had sausage, and they would have the hams and the bacon from the hogs, too, and they would build a box that looked like a coffin and salt it down, and that's the way they would preserve it. And then that would last all year long. You could keep it all year long that way. And then the store also carried bacon. You see, anything that didn't have to be kept under refrigeration, like the summer sausage that you buy now, or servalette, they'd have that. And then there was, I doubt much whether there was hardly a day passed that somebody wasn't going to Riverdale. I remember Mother belonged to 3 different clubs, you know, at one time. And that meant that she went to go get 3 times a week. And she would bring out meat, bread, you know, or anything that's, if it was anything needed when she'd go in. And then there were sometimes trucks going in to get something, or parts were needed. And people would help each other. If somebody needed something from town, somebody was going, they'd bring about whatever was necessary.
Well, did you have smokehouses and things like this?
Yes. Oh, and that. Oh, I can see that now. I love that raw sausage.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And, of course, we had it. And we'd kept a knife right there by the door. And you could just open that door of that smokehouse and go in there and cut you off a piece of that raw sausage. And, oh, was it good. And to protect it from the mice, we would take 10 lids and cut a slot in them, and then run our wire across from one side to the other and put these on each end so the mice couldn't crawl and get to the sausage. And then our sausage was hung there and protected, and it stayed in the smokehouse until it was all gone. You know, that as long as you keep that hanging where a little air can get to it and circulating, it keeps.
You never had to take it out and do anything?
Oh, I say by usually when it started really getting hot. By that time, it was usually gone.
Right.
By, say, April time or May, we'd have eaten it all by then.
Did they ever smoke anything like big old hams and stuff like that?
No, I never remember smoking anything but sausage. They preserved the hams and the bacon and salt.
Was it a salt brine or just
No,
salt?
Just pure salt. And then when you take that the bacon or the ham out, you'd slice it, and then you'd soak it in cold water to remove some of that salt.
And then you'd eat it then.
Then you'd fry it and eat it then. It just, you know, preserved it. And salt.
Yeah. Well, I didn't understand whether it was a salt brine or just, you know.
And then we had, I had some sheep, and my brother had some goats. And then we were always having barbecues, too, of the mutton and the cabrita. And then, of course, during bird season, we had birds to eat. And then squirrels. Oh, and I went over to one of the hands. One day, Polly Taylor, now that you was talking about, and they were all such good cooks, and I went over there, and they were just fixing to sit down to eat, and she said, "Honey, won't you come eat with us?" And I said, "Well, what do you have?" She says, "Possum and sweet potatoes." Well, I didn't eat.
You didn't.
But it did look good.
I bet it did, and I bet it probably tasted good.
It probably
good.
Did, but I just didn't eat.
If she had said baked chicken and sweet potatoes, I bet she would have eaten.
And I'm sure Ribdale had as many of its share of characters as any place.
I want you to tell us about Happy in a minute.
But I'll tell you this. I guess I was just as big a one as any of the rest of them. But each added in their own way, added something to make the life in Riverdale happy. Yeah. And that reminds me of Happy Lot. Now that was one of the characters there. He worked in the store. Mm-hmm. And poor thing, he couldn't do anything right. But if it hadn't been for him, there would have not been near as much fun in Riverdale. He was scared to death of the weather.
Oh my word.
And the least, with one little old flash of lightning, he'd go to somebody's house where there were children. And he would go in and he'd ask one of the kids to come sit on his lap. Because he said he knew God wouldn't strike one of those little kids. And then when it was time for the children to go to bed, especially at our house, I can remember this, he would ask my mother if she would let him have a quilt. And he'd get down on the floor and put his flashlight turned on his stomach so it would shine in his face and then cover his whole head with his quilt so he couldn't see the lightning. Later on, mainly on account of Happy Lot too, they built this farm house in Riverdale. And with the first flash of lightning, you could hear Happy Lot coming and a running, yelling with every breath, "Everybody better come on and go to the storm house so you'll be safe, because the weather's sure going to get bad."
I wonder what he thought the lightning. Wonder why he was afraid of the lightning.
I don't know, but it was pitiful, except it was funny.
Right.
Now, it can be, you feel sorry for him in one way, but he was so funny about it mm-hmm. that you couldn't help but laugh.
Oh, I guess not.
And it was, everybody laughed instead of, I guess, giving him the sympathy he needed. And then we'd hone him. When he'd get in the storm house, we would hone him because we'd take the flashlight. They had a little ventilation in the storm house. And we'd put that flashlight there and turn it off and on. And he'd think lightning was coming in that storm house. And, oh, you could hear him yell all over Riverdale.
You had mentioned earlier about the way he managed... You had mentioned earlier about how he managed to get all the flour unloaded.
Yes, he was pretty smart. He didn't hurt himself working if he could get somebody else to work. I don't know if I should say that.
Go ahead.
Well, because I don't want to be disrespectful, but that's true. So when he knew a truckload of flour was coming, he'd be watching for it. He'd stand out there on the porch of the store, and he'd be watching for it. And just as soon as he'd see it, he'd start yelling, "Oh, you kids, come on, I'm going to give you a piece of candy." And he'd stand out there and yell till we all came from scattered all over everywhere. You know, here we come a-running. And he'd say, "I'm going to give you that candy just as soon as you help us unload that flour." And then he'd line us all up like little soldiers, mm-hmm. and we'd pace it from a sack from one to the other. And Booger Clark, who was the other one that worked in the store there, he would pat it down and stack it. And Happy would stand there on his hips telling us to be careful not to drop the sacks and to hurry up, don't be so slow, but never did carry one sack of flour. Or never help with one sack of flour. Then when we got through, he'd go to the candy case and reach in and give us each one a penny piece of candy.
Then you got your candy.
Yes,
but
we got our candy. But we worked for it. And we, even though we knew the next time he hollered what it was, we'd go do it again.
That was still the fun, wasn't it?
That's what I'm saying. We knew. But we didn't mind. It was work to be done, and we were all doing it together. And that's what I'm saying. Even though he didn't work, he made it so funny. We'd get so tickled at him telling us and bossing us that we'd probably drop sacks on the impetus, but it made it fun. Uh-huh. We'd keep out, we wouldn't realize that we were working.
Right.
We were listening to him and laughing. And then I went hunting. My daddy and my brother and I went hunting with Happy one night, which was an error. How could we go hunting at night?
Right.
Maybe it was fishing, but I remember something that, well, I don't know. It was hunting.
Maybe coon
hunting or some kind of hunting like that, because I know it was hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And Happy, we all had flashlights. And Happy, like I said, things always happen to Happy. First thing, he fell down and broke his flashlight. Then he started working on my brother. And he'd say, come on now, Jack. Give me your flashlight. I'm an old man and I need it. You don't need it. You're just a young kid. Till finally, my brother let him have it. Well, it wasn't any time before he broke that one. I don't know how he broke it. Then he started working on me. I finally let him have the one I had and he broke it.
Oh, my word.
And we had over across a little gully, there was a log. And we had to walk this log to get over to the other side. But it wasn't bad like it sounded. It wasn't a big deal. But Happy fell off and broke the last flashlight. I never did even see the water, but he said he almost drowned, but I don't think there was any water in this gully. But anyway, but the reason I know it, we were hunting, and it was at night because coming back, and we was groping our way,
I can imagine.
We heard something up in the tree. And this particular place down on the river bottom was called Buzzard's Roost. And my brother asked my daddy if he could shoot up there at those buzzards. And daddy said, well, go on and shoot. So he shot and out fell a turkey. A wild turkey.
Buzzard's Roost, but full of turkeys.
This place was called Buzzard's Roost, but it had a turkey. And that's right, I know we had guns, so we hadn't been hunting, but I guess we were coon hunting. I don't remember.
Riverdale is a thriving little community, but still thriving and a happy community. Do you, can you tell me anything that might have caused the decline of it around 1940 to 42, wasn't it?
It was around that time, mm-hmm. that when it closed. And it started declining a little bit. That's when it almost closed entirely. And it started declining a little bit before that. Of course, with the mechanical age, there was less tenants needed.
Mm-hmm.
Because with the tractors, they didn't need as many farmers. One farmer could farm what previously it had taken three or four people to do. Then with the cars, more cars. People having more cars. It wasn't necessary for a little community to be there to serve them because they could go to town without too much trouble. And then the price of cotton. Now, I can't remember when the acreage of cotton was cut, but first the price of cotton was so low that it really wasn't a money making. And then the government tried to solve that, I think, by cutting the acreage planted to bring the price up.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't exactly remember, but that was a main thing. It was a mechanical age and the progressiveness of the times, I guess,
right.
It really more
mm-hmm.
or less enclosed it, just like so many of our small communities have closed.
Right.
And almost all of our schools, little schools now, have closed.
The schools were consolidated with the town schools, I guess, and just a process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a process.
Just more or less of a natural thing that depended on one thing like a farming for
mm-hmm.
a living.
Right. Well, when you go, or if you go back now, or when you think about Riverdale, what are your impressions of the town itself?
In the past?
Yes, uh-huh.
That it was a utopia.
Right.
And now, the last time I went through there, and you can hardly tell, even where it was, I wanted to cry.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, but nobody can take those memories away.
Yeah. How beautiful. I certainly want to thank you for sharing your memories and your knowledge with us. And there is nobody that could have told it any better. Thank you so very much.